Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
This tells us that every time somebody uses Jesus from the pulpit, doesn't mean that they're talking about the same Jesus. There could be different Jesuses. And they could be talking about the Jesus of the Bible, but they change things that make him different.
The churches in the region of Galatia had bought into a different gospel than the gospel Paul had taught them. And as a result, they were following a different Jesus than the Jesus who had died for them and paid the complete price for their sin. In this letter written by the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, Paul is desperately trying to get them back on track and living by faith rather than thinking they have to live under the law. We are in Galatians 1, 6 through 10. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The title of our message today out of Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 is A Different Jesus, A Different Gospel. That there are people who teach a different Jesus than the Jesus that we believe in. There are people that teach a different gospel than the gospel that we believe in. The book of Galatians is a unique book among the books in the New Testament because the people of Galatia, the region, had received false doctrine and believed it and implemented it. They were actually living it out. And so it's got a different tone than any other book. It's almost the opposite of the book of Ephesians, where they test everything. Remember Revelation, the letter to the Ephesians? They tested everything. They tested false prophets. They weren't willing to believe in anything. But their problem was they had left their love. They had left their first love of God. We need to be passionate about the truth, but we need to stay deeply in love with God. The Galatians had the opposite problem. They had embraced false teaching. The interesting thing about this false teaching, and we did a study on it last week where we talked about legalism and we talked about works-based religion, and we saw, and I think it was a pretty definitive study that we saw clearly, that we are not to live under the law. The law cannot save us. Paul says in Galatians, if the law could save us, then Christ died in vain. Not one law can save you. Not one. Not one of the commandments can save you. If you say, well, wait a minute, it says, thou shalt not have any other God before me. Well, yeah, if you keep that, that's great. But what if you break the fifth commandment or the sixth commandment? What if you covet something? What if you bear false witness? What if you slander somebody? Now you've broken the law and you're unsavable. You can't be saved by it. And that's why they gave sacrifices, not in order to forgive their sins, but to cover their sins until Jesus could come along, die on the cross, and offer us salvation by grace and not by works at all. Now, this false doctrine that you should keep the law, or you have to keep the law to complete your work with Christ, that false doctrine, the attack against it was so good because it helped to define what the real gospel is. We know what the real gospel is because of Romans, because of Galatians, because of Hebrews. All of them were battling against this legalism. And so we have the definition. They went over it and over it and over it because of this particular false doctrine. It is almost like it's a false doctrine that was planned by God, or he allowed that false doctrine, or he used good out of it, because had they not been writing against it, we would not have so much of what we have in the Bible. So much of what is written, if it wasn't for this particular false doctrine, we would not have at all. And it, like I said, definitively attacks work-based religions. And this, of course, is a balance, right? Because we are saved, and then we do good works. James said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And people confuse that. They think, well, that's saying that you got to be saved by works. James wasn't. He said, show me your faith by your works. So you have to have faith first to be revealed by your works. So it's not that we don't do any works, but certainly not the law. And that is clearly defined. And this teaching is still around today. We fight against it on a regular basis. Groups of people who will teach that we have to keep some kind of the law. We've got to keep the Sabbath. We've got to keep the dietary laws. They'll go back to certain things within the law that we are supposed to keep, when the Bible never says that. Now, I want to read you verse 8 out of Galatians 1. This is in the middle of our text, and this is going to give you a sense of what the text said. This is probably the strongest stance in the Bible against false doctrine. It says in Galatians 1:8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." He's saying anybody who's bringing you a doctrine that is different, let them be accursed. Now, this puts us in a little bit of a precarious place, because the Bible says in the last days, men are going to heap up for themselves teachers who will tickle their ears. They bring different gospels today. The Bible says that they will teach doctrines of demons. So there are spiritual forces behind the doctrines, the different gospels that are being taught. And in a little while, we'll actually break down what some of the false gospels are today so that we can really identify them. Now, to the church at Corinth, he also says something similar, because false doctrines were bleeding into the church at Corinth. It's just that Corinth was I heard one pastor say that the church at Corinth was a dumpster fire. It was such a dumpster fire. There was so much going on that was so wrong that he didn't spend a lot of time attacking false doctrine. But he says this to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. "For if he comes preaching another Jesus, who we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." So he was concerned that the Corinthians might be taught a different Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel, that they would put up with it. And that concern he had for the Corinthians is exactly what happened in the region of Galatia. They had received a different Jesus. They had received a different gospel. They had were believing something that was indeed a lie. Now, let's break down a little bit of this. And I want to talk about that phrase where he uses in the beginning of 2 Corinthians 11:4, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached." This tells us that every time somebody uses Jesus from the pulpit, doesn't mean that they're talking about the same Jesus. There could be different Jesuses. And they could be talking about the Jesus of the Bible, but they change things that make him different. And I think that this is really important for us to understand. And one of the examples is in Mormonism, or as they're trying to rebrand themselves now to Latter-day Saints. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is how they want to rebrand themselves. And where they used to attack Christians and made themselves distinct from Christians, now they say things like, "We believe the same as other Christians." So they're trying to now rebrand themselves as Christians. And if you go onto the Latter-day Saints website, you can see there's whole sections where they talk about what they believe. They'll say things like, "We believe in the Godhead. We believe in salvation through Jesus Christ alone." Now, when you and I hear that, we hear the Godhead, we know what we think. We think that's one God with three persons. But that's not what they mean. They believe everyone can become gods. And they believe that God, Elohim, was a man and has a human body right now, the form of a human body right now. And that he got his own planet. And that he is God. And that Jesus was a spirit baby who became a God. And they believe that you can become gods as well. That if you go through the progression, that's their word, you can go through the progression and you can become gods. The interesting thing about this false doctrine is it's almost like the garden when the serpent had Eve eat the fruit. The day you eat it, God knows you will be like him. You can be like God by eating this fruit. And now the same doctrine that you can become a god. You can have your own world. Now, for you gals, it's not as appealing because one guy has a bunch of wives. And God in heaven, there's a heavenly father, and in Mormonism, there's a heavenly mother. I don't know if you know this or not. So the show, The Chosen, and Dallas Jenkins is the director and the creator of The Chosen. How many of you guys have seen it? Just out of curiosity. Okay, I love it. It's awesome. It's a great show. There's things I would do differently, but that's probably the case with you too, right? If you were the director and the creator of it, you probably would do some things different. And there's some things that people disagree with. I don't think any of it is in any way should make people not watch the show. People have watched it. People are blessed by it. People have gotten saved watching the show. Now, the second series was cut in Utah using a Mormon set. And he began to use some of them for some of the projects on The Chosen. So, and I'm not sure exactly where they're involved in it. I think it's in merchandising or VidAngel maybe. I don't really know exactly which one of them, but Mormons are involved in it. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't think that whether they're Mormons or atheists or Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever, to work on a project like that, I don't have a problem with. I think as long as those who are making the creative decisions really represent Jesus well. But here's what he said that got him into some trouble. He said he's being interviewed by a Mormon, and he is reassuring him that he loves them. And he says, I've got a newfound brotherhood between LDS and myself, and I discovered that they love the same Jesus that we love. And then later on, he says that they know the same Jesus that we know. And then he says, I'll live and die by this statement. I'll stand or fall by this statement. So he kind of takes a hard line on the statement that he makes. A little bit later on, if you guys are aware of a YouTube creator by the name of Ruslan, I think he used to be a rapper. He now puts Christian videos together. Good stuff, by the way. Check him out. Ruslan. He interviews Dallas Jenkins, and he softens it. He says, I have Mormon friends, and I talk to them about what they believe about Jesus, and they believe the same thing that I believe, and I realize that they believe in the same Jesus I do. So that, and he said, I stand by that statement. So he kind of doubled down on it. I stand by that statement. Now, is that possible? Could you have a Mormon who doesn't believe what the Mormon church teaches and be genuinely saved? Could they really love the same Jesus and be saved by him if they change their belief, what the Mormon church believes, but still call themselves a Mormon? And I would say yes. If you believe in the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible, and you put your trust in him, then yes. If you believe in the Jesus of Mormonism, I don't believe that you can be saved. And here's why. I want to talk about three things that really concern me. Mormon doctrine is a whole other thing, and we might get into it at some other point. And you can do a lot of research on your own to figure out what it is that Mormons believe. And we all know they're really nice people, right? Because that's the argument you get when you talk about Mormonism. But they're really nice people. Agreed. Okay? Really nice people. They weren't always, but they are now. There's, you know, some massacre with some valley, right? And then there were, you know, they would sick people on their enemies. They're pretty good at that. But there are three things about Jesus, the personhood of Jesus. And that's what we're concerned about now. Is the Jesus of the Bible the same as the Jesus that the LDS church teaches? So first of all, the origin of Jesus. Where did Jesus come from? You and I believe that he was in the beginning with God. You and I believe that, as it says in the Old Testament, he would be born in Bethlehem, and he would rule over God's people, and his days would be of old, of everlasting. We believe he's always been around. He's always been around. He will always be around. He is the I Am, we believe. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he created all things, and nothing has been created that he did not create. That's what it says in John chapter 1. And then in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. So the Word is God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The LDS church teaches that Heavenly Father has a body like us, had sex with Heavenly Mother, one of his many wives, and produced the spirit baby Jesus. That's what they believe. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go look it up. Go, it's going to take you a little bit of time. And when you go to the LDS website, remember that they give different definitions to words that we do. Like Godhead, we believe that's three in one. They believe that they're each individual gods, that they became gods by themselves. So the spirit baby Jesus that was born, or the spirit Jesus, I guess he was born as a baby if in their theology, but as he grew up, he excelled in authority and influence, and he became a god. So they'll say to you, Jesus is God. And you go, oh, well, yeah, right. And we believe in the Godhead. And you go, yeah, right. And we believe you can only be saved through Jesus. Well, yeah, right. Well, you guys must be Christians. That's what they're going for. They're doing that on purpose. They are purposely being deceptive in order to get Christians to go, oh, they believe the same thing we believe. So who is Jesus for to them? A spirit baby that was born to a heavenly father and a heavenly mother. To us, he has always been God and will always be God. That's right there. It's a different Jesus. The second thing is the second child who was born to heavenly father and maybe a different heavenly mother, I don't know, was Lucifer. And Lucifer excelled in influence and authority as well as Jesus did. And when it came time for somebody to be sent to the earth as a savior, Lucifer volunteered and so did Jesus. And Heavenly Father chose Jesus over Lucifer. And if you want to look up these in the Pearl of Great Price, remember there's the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and there's the Doctrines and Covenants. They believe that the Bible is wrong. It's got mistakes in it. It's wrong. And that these clear it up. They gave these books to clear up what the Bible says. So in Moses 1 of the Pearl of Great Price, they have Satan contending to be Savior. And in Abraham 3:7, that's again the Pearl of Great Price, Heavenly Father chooses Jesus instead of Lucifer to go out and to be the Savior. Now, we're talking about the personhood of Jesus. We're not so concerned about all the other stuff right now. So their Jesus is a brother, a spirit brother to Satan, to Lucifer. Our Jesus created Lucifer. And I'll read you a verse that says that here in just a moment. You could also look up, I'm just going to give you these references, okay? If you want to slow it down and look them up, you can. You can look up Doctrine and Covenants 76:25 and Doctrine and Covenants 93:21. I just wanted to cite the references because so often you say things and then people are like, I don't know if that's really true. I want to give you the opportunity to go look these things up if you want to. So the final thing about the personhood of Jesus that we would strongly say that's not the same Jesus is that they believe that Heavenly Father, and I'm a little fuzzy on if he married Mary or not. I'm going to assume he married her. That Heavenly Father had sex with Mary to have Jesus come into this earth. That's what they believe. And I've got a Brigham Young, I got a couple quotes. I don't, it's in my other notes. But so they believe that literally. And Brigham Young said, I've got those sightings in the Q&A from today, by the way, because I talked about this in the Q&A. So if you want to know where Brigham Young said that, then go look at our Q&A. Sorry to do that to you. Brigham Young said that Jesus was born naturally like all of us were born. It's clearly taught. We believe Jesus was born of a virgin. And you say, well, how do they get around the Bible? They don't believe the Bible's true. They believe the Bible has problems. They believe that their books are to clarify what the Bible says. We believe Jesus was virgin born. We believe the Holy Spirit placed Jesus supernaturally inside of Mary. Now, scholars debate whether there was, you know, what, you get 23 chromosomes from each person, is that right? I hate when I start talking about something I don't know everything about. But whether or not he used some of Mary's chromosomes or whether he just put Jesus in her stomach, created Jesus and put her in her womb. But that's what we believe. The Holy Spirit is the one that supernaturally, so that a virgin could give birth. And so they would teach something completely different. So if Jesus was born as a spirit baby from Heavenly Father, and if Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, and if Jesus came to this earth through a sexual relation with Heavenly Father, I don't think there's any of us here who would say, that's the same Jesus. Do they believe that Jesus died and rose again? Yeah. Could you say, could that be the same Jesus? Well, that part, maybe. They're looking at that Jesus. They're looking at what the real Jesus did. But our Jesus is much different. Listen to, this is a creed. This is Colossians 1, 15 through 18. And scholars believe this was a creed the early church memorized so they could memorize the personhood of Jesus. Listen to what it says in the Bible about Jesus. This is Colossians 1, 15 through 18. He is the image of the invisible God. And I refer back to John 1, 1, 2, and 14. The firstborn over creation. It doesn't say he's the firstborn of creation. He's the firstborn over creation. Because being a firstborn is an office. You got the inheritance if you were the first. You had the right of the firstborn. And so Jesus has the right of the firstborn. And we are co-inheritors with him. So he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over creation, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. Now he's going to go through a list, visible and invisible. So there's an invisible world around us, spiritual, and there's a physical world, and Jesus created both of them. Whether thrones or dominions, that means he created kings and their kingdoms, principalities and powers. These are angels and demons. Remember in Daniel 12, Michael is called the prince of Israel. And earlier, Gabriel is fighting the prince of Persia. And the prince of Greece, he's got to go back and fight the prince of Persia. And remember in Ephesians, it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So Jesus created principalities and powers. That means he created Lucifer. Okay? All things were created through him, but not only through him, but for him. All things were created for Jesus, through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things consist. That's not the Mormon Jesus. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, meaning he was the first one ever to rise from the dead in his glorified body, and all of us will follow him, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Now, Dallas Jenkins will never listen to this, but I want to say to him, I love the show. I encourage people to watch it. Unless something radically changes in the show, I won't stop watching it. I won't tell people to stop watching it. But people are extremely open when you apologize. When you say, I was wrong and I'm sorry. It's incredible how forgiving people are. And you can couch that however you want. You can say, I was uninformed. I just didn't understand. You could say, I kind of got stubborn. I shouldn't have. But I'm sorry, and I don't believe that the Jesus of the Mormon church is the Jesus of that created the world, of the Bible. They're not the same. They don't serve the same one. And apologize. Just do it heartfelt. People are incredibly forgiving, and that's the right thing to do. Instead, he's continuing to soften it. And I appreciate that. I appreciate him going, there were Mormons that I knew that had the same belief about Jesus than I did. That's softening it from his interview with the Mormon. And I appreciate that softening, but I just don't know if it's good enough when you make a stand. I'm gonna stand or fall on this when he makes that kind of a stand. So I just want you to know, no bitterness. And I don't know that he'll ever watch this, but I want him to know, no bitterness, no anger. I just think it's a sad thing that people could be sucked into this. It's adding legitimacy to something they're trying to do. They're the ones who say, we serve the same Jesus as Christians do. You can go on their website and see it there. That's their statement, that's their propaganda. And so now you have mimicked their propaganda. And I love you, and I really want you to do good. I'm glad you're making The Chosen. I just would love to see you clear this up for the sake of people who might be deceived and might believe a wrong gospel.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.